With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Making a movie that's even simply good is extremely difficult, especially given that audiences have a tendency to be finicky about the smallest things, and putting one creative foot wrong in the final stretch can easily sour the entire experience. Last impressions count for a lot, and so the final sight that viewers set their eyes upon before the end credits will largely define how they regard the whole movie. Indeed, delivering a satisfying ending to a film, regardless of its wider quality, sure is tricky, and so it's little surprise that so many films fail to do so despite their best efforts. With that in mind, I'm Will for What Culture, and here are 10 recent films that totally blew the ending. 10. The Witches. Though expectations weren't exactly high for Robert Zemeckis' re-adaptation of Roald Dahl's beloved dark fantasy novel The Witches, the director did at least have the opportunity to deliver a more provocative ending than the 1990 version. Like Dahl's book, The Witches 2020 wraps up with the young protagonist permanently retaining his mouse form and never being turned back into a human. However, the film also tiptoes around the grimmer implications of this ending, that the boy and his unwell grandmother will therefore die around the same time, instead suggesting that we have no idea how long they both will live. And because it's apparently a bit too heavy to end a family film like that these days, it all wraps up with a toe-curlingly embarrassing song and dance number set to Sister Sledge's We Are Family. Oof. 9. Antebellum. Antebellum was widely hyped as the next Get Out ahead of its release, following successful author Veronica Henley, who, for reasons that aren't initially explained, ends up captured and held as a slave on a Louisiana Civil War plantation. The marketing heavily implied that Antebellum was a sci-fi horror film with a time travel gimmick that would see Veronica literally sent back through time to live out the very suffering inflicted upon her ancestors. But alas, it turns out that everything we see in the movie actually takes place in 2020, with Veronica finally managing to stage a desperate escape as the camera pulls back to reveal that the plantation was actually a Civil War reenactment park all along. It's a staggeringly silly and totally underwhelming climax to a film that was clearly trying a little too hard to channel some of that dishy Black Mirror energy. 8. The Craft Legacy. The recently released soft reboot slash sequel to the 1996 cult classic The Craft was, as expected, more of a rehash of the original film than anything particularly inventive on its own rights. In all honesty, the film well and truly threw away its potential to stand on its own two feet by tacking on a lazy fan service ending, revealing that the protagonist Lily's birth mother is none other than Nancy Downs, the antagonist of the first movie. More than anything, this was a desperate attempt to set up a third film by linking the first two movies together in an explicit, albeit wholly contrived, way. 7. Tenet. Christopher Nolan's Tenet is, for all its many faults, an ambitious and complex film, which leaves audiences wondering quite how its twisty, labyrinthine narrative is going to tie together. A shame it was, then, that Nolan opted for a hasty last-minute ass-pull by revealing that the protagonist was actually the mastermind behind Tenet all along. A future version of the protagonist set all of the movie's events in motion, including recruiting Neil to, in turn, recruit the past protagonist and basically kick everything off. It's a noodle baker for sure, albeit one that feels unnecessarily contrived and over-eager to impress compared to the genuinely ingenious twists in Nolan's prior films, such as Memento, The Prestige, and Inception. 6. On the Rocks. Sofia Coppola's new drama On the Rocks was a subtle subversion of what the marketing suggested it to be. Though the trailers implied that the movie would focus on Lara teaming up with her slick father Felix to get revenge on her unfaithful husband Dean, the sum of its parts was really something else. Coppola spends the bulk of the film keeping viewers in the dark about whether or not Dean has indeed been cheating with his gorgeous associate Fiona, though in the third act it finally comes out that, as a matter of fact, Dean's just been preoccupied with his work. And so the film ends with an intentional anticlimax, as Lara and Dean talk about their problems and seemingly get over this speed bump in their relationship. Even though this non-event of an ending is entirely purposeful, it's still incredibly unsatisfying, all the more so because it just doesn't feel earned. 5. Rebecca. Ben Wheatley's re-adaptation of Daphne du Maurier's legendary 1938 gothic mystery novel, previously adapted by Alfred Hitchcock, was already fighting an uphill struggle to prove its necessity, a fight its iffy ending categorically ensured it lost. Though in many respects, Wheatley's film is actually more faithful to du Maurier's text, such as revealing that Maxim shot his titular wife rather than her dying accidentally like she did in Hitchcock's film, Wheatley nevertheless closes things out on a frustrating whimper. Despite Maxim's new wife being complicit in covering up his murderous past, and housekeeper Mrs. Danvers curtly warning her that she'll never know happiness by standing by her man, Mrs. De Winter ends the film by staying with Maxim and recalling a flowery, optimistic monologue about the power of love. Bleh. Though Wheatley certainly isn't blind to the complexities of the source material, and the ending can be interpreted as a commentary on the corrupting nature of love, it's nevertheless extremely underwhelming to the point of frustration, especially compared to the more operatic finale of the Hitchcock film. 4. Host. It's easy to cut this found footage horror film a ton of slack, considering that it was produced entirely in quarantine during the middle of a pandemic in a mere 3 months. And while Host is for the most part a well-crafted, of-the-moment horror yarn, it sadly doesn't quite sustain all the way to the finish line, even with a respectably tight 57-minute runtime. In the climax, the two remaining characters, Gemma and Haley, meet up and attempt to escape Haley's house using her Polaroid camera to help light the way to the exit. After a few flashes, though, they're attacked by the demon, which is visible on screen for a few frames before the Zoom call expires. The end. Between the cliché camera flash trick and the cheap jump scare, the ending was, well, it was just a bit crap. 3. The Rental. For a solid 95% of its runtime, Dave Franco's thriller is an engrossing film about two couples who find their rented seaside house terrorized by an unseen stalker. Though for much of the film it's implied that the creep responsible for planting cameras around the house is the property's caretaker Taylor, it ultimately turns out that the real culprit is a totally random masked assailant. Things inevitably turn violent, and at the film's end, the masked man kills all four of the central characters, after which it's revealed that his MO involves renting houses, installing cameras, and making copies of the keys, and then watching and murdering the unsuspecting couples who subsequently rent it. While on one hand the rental does serve as a chilling commentary on the Airbnb economy, the ending is massively underwhelming, given that the final surviving character Mina simply ends up falling off a cliff to her death. 2. The New Mutants. Few were expecting much good to come out of The New Mutants, and while hardly anything special, it also wasn't the pure train wreck many were anticipating. If nothing else, it was the rarest beast of a superhero movie with a genuine front and center gay relationship, and Anya Taylor-Joy's performance as Magic was a ton of fun. As so many superhero films do, though, The New Mutants ultimately diverged into a generic mishmash of CGI nonsense in the final stretch, with the young mutants taking on the entity known as Demon Bear. But even the promise of splashy digital schlock was short-lived, as the battle soon enough concluded with Mirage simply calming Demon Bear into passivity. The mutants then find the force field trapping them in the facility broken, allowing them to venture off together into the big wide world. Between the ropey effects work and the fact that it teases a sequel that we all know is never happening, it's a total damp squib shoulder shrug of an ending. 1. The Grudge. This sidequel to the 2004 American Grudge remake is a pretty poor movie on the whole, thoroughly squandering both a talented cast and a skilled director on a grimy carousel of horror tropes. After it appears that protagonist Muldoon has triumphed over the titular curse, she hugs her son Burke, only for the real Burke to appear in the hallway behind them, before Muldoon is dragged away by Fiona's ghost. Call me crazy, but it would have actually been really refreshing for a singular indie filmmaker to end the film without any sort of gotcha moment, but the film instead ends on this howlingly predictable, lame-as-hell final scare. Probably studio-mandated, to be honest. Yet, because this isn't lousy enough, the end credits then quietly roll over a static exterior shot of Muldoon's house, seeming to suggest that another scene is yet to come. But once the movie's logo flashes up after the main credits, the shot simply fades to black, and that's all she wrote. It's just 2 more minutes of boredom in an unfortunately boring film.